Voltron fans, and welcome to the very first AfterBuzz TV Voltron Legendary Defender After Show. We are covering episode number one, The Rise of Voltron, and team, it's time to form Voltron!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV! And now, let the buzz begin!
I would just like to let everyone know I regret literally nothing! Yes, I regret.
Oh my God, the lights were sort of pink, so it was like, oh no, now it's red. Okay, oh,
yeah. There we go.
I regret nothing about starting with that.
Nah,
let's be real.
Nah.
Opening catchphrase.
You guys, we're covering Voltron and it's glorious. We're so happy to be here.
I'm like pretty excited about this, like not gonna lie.
I've been waiting about this for weeks.
This is the crew that you assemble when you want to talk about giant robots,
yes, right?
Obviously.
I mean, the thing is too about like this show is that like it's Voltron, but it's like Avatar, but
yes,
Voltron.
Thank you. I already know who my Sokka is. That's why I'm wearing blue.
Yeah, let's be real. And I'm lead host, so there's a reason. Yeah, guys, we're color-coded. So let's talk about the wonderful people on the panel with us. We have the Red Lion, Emma Fife.
Yes, that's me, Emma Fife. I can be found all over the internet, wherever Emma Fifes are sold, at Emma Fife, which is my name.
Blue Lion, Alexis Torres.
And it's because I'm the prettiest. I'm just kidding.
You can find me all over social media at atorres890. That's actually not true.
I'm really glad we're sitting next to each other.
Oh my God, do I have to separate you children? Green Lion, Megan Salinas.
Hey, I'm going to have to get a pair of glasses like Pidge.
Yeah,
I know, you really do.
I don't have the lenses.
Yeah.
Oh, could you bring these up? Sure. Next time.
Yeah. Twitter.
Yeah, there we go.
Twitter.
Oh, I'm the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. I'm just so excited to talk about the show. Let's talk about the show when we're all done.
And I am Black Lion Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxet. That's KIAXET. And God help me, I'm running this band of teenage misfits.
Yes. I mean, I feel like that's like pretty accurate for like how Shiro it relates to all of the characters on the show anyway, because like they really are all like obnoxious teenagers, and Shiro's like kind of got his act together, so...
There was someone at Comic-Con who actually got age confirmation. Mm-hmm. They asked during the panel, and then they took video when they went to the signing afterwards. Pidge is 14, Shiro's 25, and all the other three are kind of late teens in the middle
They're like obscurely 16 to 18.
And what's killing me is that, okay, Shiro's 25. That means he was on the Kerberos mission when he was 24, and they probably left when he was 23. When did he graduate? Did he become an officer right away?
Yeah,
how does this work?
Listen, he was a very, very talented pilot, okay? Like, most of these characters are walking anime stereotypes, so, like,
well,
it's fine.
Yeah,
so
true. But at least it's not Naruto where everyone's 11.
Oh, that's true. Shiro,
I will agree with that.
Shiro is, like, he is a walking anime stereotype. He's, like, the amalgamation of so many anime.
He's got a scar. He's got amnesia.
Robot
arm. He went full anime within the first 10 minutes of the series, and it was glorious.
I was fine with it.
Yeah, because like I love how you can just tell that's the leader because you're like, ah, hair chance,
and that guy.
Well, I mean, after all, you know, it is of course inspired by the original Voltron series, which was sort of an amalgamation of a couple different anime series, both Go Lion and the other one, which I'm totally drawing a blank on the name of right now. But don't worry, I have it up.
There were three, were there not?
Yeah. So it was Beast King Go Lion. And also Armored Fleet Daidogu 15 in Roman numerals. Also Future Robot Dalnatius. Basically,
what happened to 1 through 14?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because
we like to license things and then stitch them together.
Well, I was gonna say they went full Robotech.
I mean, it was full Robotech on that. And it was very much like Power Rangers, where they draw from various Super Sentai series. Like, so for example, Power Rangers in Space, the Super Sentai series that they took from for that series, they were not in space. So Power Rangers in Space went. Oops.
There was another one. I can't remember which Power Rangers it was. It was the one with basically the robot apocalypse.
Yeah.
The really dark and gritty one that was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Was the Sentai and the Zord footage was taken from like the kid friendliest. The Zords have these big eyes and they talk.
Like it has literal googly eyes.
Oh yeah. The poor producer just kind of lost his mind when he saw that.
But
that's Power Rangers, and we're talking about Voltron.
Which is very closely related, however. Yeah. I mean, I remember as a kid when I did start watching Power Rangers thinking to myself, because I'd already seen Voltron at that point, and I was like, this is like Voltron, but it's kind of not as cool because, like, they're not in space. They're straight teenagers.
I saw it the other way around. I saw Power Rangers first. first, and then I saw Voltron.
Yeah,
so
I'm on the same boat
starting to watch Voltron, I'm like, this is a lot like Power Rangers. Only instead of dinosaurs, it's lions.
And I never saw Voltron, and I was not allowed to watch Power Rangers when I was a kid, so I would definitely sneak over to my, not sneak over to my friend's house, but I'd go to my friend's house across the street, and we'd watch it, because her parents would let her.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. But the first season of Voltron, the first season of Voltron is very heavily based on Beast King Go Lion, which of course has all the different like lion robots that come together and form what we all know as Voltron. Though when they got the footage, they basically licensed the footage for these multiple series and sort of matched them together in a way that the American producers thought made sense, because they didn't have a translation.
Oh my God.
Of the story.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm dead serious. So they literally went, oh, I get it. We're shooting up our own story based on what we're watching.
That's amazing.
That's incredible.
Well,
80s anime was
great. I would love to see their faces trying to figure that out.
And, and not only that, I actually, for my first one-on-one interview, I talked to Stephanie Shea, and she was telling me a story about, like, how she was talking to one of the original voice actors from Voltron.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently, you know, one of the reasons why older anime gets made fun of for having really bad dubbing was because a lot of times they didn't have the beep system that we have now. You know, they couldn't just go back if they didn't do a good job the first time. It was usually one take and then
done, God help me.
And also, and on top of that, like, they had not yet perfected the art of ADR, which we have, you know, nowadays.
Yeah.
So as you say, Megan, like, they didn't have the ADR beeps in place. And on top of that, the people that were writing the ADR scripts were not necessarily watching the thing as they were writing the ADR script for it.
God help you, they just wrote a script.
And so the people who were then trying to dub it were just like furiously trying to keep up with the lip flaps. So that's why, like, in Speed Racer, you have things like, I will defeat you in this race.
Oh my God, I need to watch Speed Racer all over again.
I know, right?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay, so we should actually talk about Voltron. And things I forgot to say because I was just so excited to get started. We have the live chat up. We have a hashtag. It is ABTV Voltron. God bless Hasan Yusof. He made us a GIF. And put it in the hashtag.
I know, we already have great stuff in the hashtag.
You guys are wonderful human beings. So yeah, if you've got something to say, throw it in the live chat, throw it in the hashtag, you may well get a shout out. We don't have any iTunes reviews to read because this is the first podcast, but you know, when it goes up, comment, subscribe, rate us 5 stars so we can keep talking about giant lion robots, because we really like doing that. And we've only been doing it for like 10 minutes.
Has it only been that long? I feel like we've been here for 2 hours.
I know, right?
I know. It's great. Oh, time flies.
There's like so much good stuff to talk about in this pilot, though.
Let's get it, because the pilot is longer than our after show is going to be. The pilot is 3 episodes long. It's 1 hour and 8 minutes.
I know.
It's literally 3 22-minute episodes.
Well, and the thing for me that I really loved about this pilot was it felt very much to me like the first, because like with Star Wars Rebels, for example, they for the past couple of seasons have led in with like a movie, quote unquote, and that's very much what this felt like.
Oh yeah, most series do that. I keep going back to Transformers Prime, but 5-part opener,
I don't want to derail too much, but I decided to start rewatching Transformers Prime from the beginning because apparently I don't care about my feelings.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah, because Transformers Prime doesn't care about my feelings. So.
No, they actively try to murder them.
You need those heartstrings. Speaking of, and we're gonna talk spoilers for this. We've all seen the whole series.
We have.
Because we have no impulse control, and we definitely watched it before we pitched this after show. What we're going to do is we can talk about things, but we are not going to spoil beyond what we're talking about. So there's definitely spoilers lurking out there in the ether for the rest of the series, but we're just talking about the pilot. However, we may point out things that, knowing what happens in the rest of the series, we notice a heck of a lot more in the pilot. Like, Pidge will not shut the hell up about the rest of the crew fixated.
I agree with you, though, because I remember watching the pilot for the first time around, and I already was starting to, like, clue in about Pidge a little bit.
Yeah, like,
I thought everyone figured it out in episode 2.
Yeah. However, rewatching it now knowing exactly what's going on with Pidge, I was like, oh yeah, he really won't shut up about
spoilers
it.
Well, much. Love is that you can see the exact moment where it clicks for Shiro.
Exactly.
Oh, it was beautiful,
and it's such a great, because we like the faces of Pidge's family are very obscured the helmets from the opening. So by the time we get towards the end of the episode where Pidge says, it's my brother, it's my father, you know, I have to find them, it's like, oh, that makes so much sense.
No, it totally does.
Yeah. No, my realization was from the picture. I was like, interesting.
We'll talk about that more next week.
But I'll go from there.
That's next week's spoiler to talk about. But yeah, no, I just Shiro's my favorite character, not gonna lie. Let's be completely real.
Yeah, I knew that as soon as I was watching, I'm like, Katie's favorite.
Agent Washington really badly.
Do we want to go around the table and say our favorite?
Uh-huh.
Go for it.
Shameless.
Listen, my favorite is Keith. and you have to understand the reasoning. It is because I, as a young teenager, sort of 14, I think, was when Gundam Wing was airing on Toonami, and Hiro Yui was my favorite.
Oh my god!
Everything makes sense now!
Doesn't it make sense?
Guys,
any of you who have never listened to Love and Justice, where I'm very open about this kind of stuff, you're going to see a very different side of Emma as we just go to an after show.
Well, and fun thing, I do a lot of research. The Tumblr has been pulling up all the character bios that are available on the site, all that fun stuff. Keith's an orphan. And as far as just from the way he talks to people, I'm pretty sure he doesn't actually know how to people.
Yeah.
That he's very, very bad at. I mean, okay, I'm bonding with you. And just the, you made fun of me for that.
But you know,
like,
just,
he doesn't know how to people.
But he's real good at pilot.
He is.
Girl.
And the thing I want to know, how do he and Shiro know each other?
I don't know.
Are they related? Are they boyfriends? Obviously, they know each other.
They obviously know each other. It is very clear to me that, like, Keith is madly in love with Shiro. Shiro, like, reciprocates those feelings, but
I don't think so.
I feel like Shiro is kind of the only person that made life worth living for Keith, whether that's romantic or familial or whatever, and then it's like, and now he's gone.
I thought you were somewhere completely different with that, but I will just not say what I was thinking.
Shiro,
After Buzz, After Dark.
Shiro definitely, it's just in his personality to be, like, that nurturing figure. He probably came across Keith and was just like, you need a mentor. Like, whether that was a conscious thought. Whether that was a conscious thought or just something that felt right.
Well, so he became Alec Baldwin from Thirty Rock. He's like, hello, Liz Lemon. I mean, Keith, you need to have a mentor.
And I've noticed this again, watching the pilot for the sixth time at this point. It has to be. I really like the pilot. We keep getting a lot of this with Shiro and Keith. Just like head on the shoulder. All the time.
Very reassuring.
NDT TV Clips is like, yeah, we shipping. I'm like,
we should probably wait for that.
Half the fandom ships Keith, half the other ships Sheet, half the other half ships Clance.
Yeah.
And then a few people are like, let's just go with Schlance. And I'm like, that is the worst ship name.
No, that's too close. It's too close. I'm into it.
I don't like it.
God bless. I'm so happy.
Who's your favorite?
Oh, well, Hold on. I have a tie. Like, I literally cannot pick between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Lance, of course, because he's my Sokka.
No, I love Lance too, specifically because of the Sokka correlation.
But definitely Allura. I think that she's just a fantabulous human, well, alien being.
Human being.
She's a fantabulous lady being.
Here's the thing too about Allura or Princess Fala in Go Lion is that you have to understand that this, for me as a little girl watching Voltron, this is a scenario of, so Go Lion came out on Japanese TV in 1981. In 1981, there was a series wherein they had all of these male characters and they killed one of them off and replaced him with the princess.
Within six episodes.
Yes.
There are modern characters who die earlier, yes, who lasted longer than, God, Sven. Yes, Sven. Which is what
good
he got dubbed
Sven.
As. Which is why everyone's kind of looking at Shiro in this series and going, oh, guys.
Oh, he's a dead man. Yeah. He's a dead man.
But I think all of us at the table have already gotten to that point.
Like, but in the dub clock series. Winding down.
Yeah. But in the dub series, Keith was in the Black Lion, yeah, and Sven, yeah, piloted the Blue Lion. And so they just kind of rotated it out.
Yeah, which is really weird why their uniforms didn't match. It makes me very happy in this series that their uniforms actually match up. Yeah.
Thank God you're color-coded. I'm American and I don't get it.
Diana wanted Allura, if she didn't actually know which lion to put them, she's like, okay, she was wearing black. You get the black lion. You're wearing green.
Yeah, actually, in the hashtag on Twitter, hang on, let me open it up here. Let's see, it was
Spencer Harris.
At Omega Ruby Knight said that
the scene where Allura was telling them which lion they were going to pilot reminded him of Zordon.
Yeah.
No, where it's like, you just met them. You just met them.
She's seen them interact and talk with each other for like, what, 5-10 minutes? And that's enough for Pidge to do the, oh, that's how that works, looking at the computer system, and just enough to kind of watch them and go, okay, this is how this works.
Yeah.
And not to mention, you know, they mentioned that her life force is connected to the to the lions somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know how her father managed that.
There's something happening.
They become something greater than science can explain. Then how did you make them?
Magic. Magic. Magic, damn you.
I don't have to explain it.
But if her life force is connected to the lions, then maybe she can sort of intuitively sense who matches up with who.
I mean, if she can open up wormholes in space.
Quintessence had to match the lions.
Exactly. And she's like connected to the castle and like psychically knows where all the lions are. So I don't know. It checks out for me.
Yeah.
But it works. I'm still just laughing at how did we build these?
Yeah. Hashtag space science.
Yes. But like top of my list that I look forward to every episode that airs is Coran, guys.
Oh my god, I love Coran so much.
I love that. I don't know if it was a picture or a gift that I sent when we started the show. Yes. Was for In the Name of the Lions. I was like, yeah.
And the thing with Coran is like, he has an actual honest-to-God personality. He's Space Nigel Thornberry.
Exactly.
Yes. He cares. There's depth to him. Mm-hmm. There's nuance. It's not just like, lol, he's funny, make the kids laugh. Like,
no.
You know, he's a goober, but there's reasons for
him. He definitely has the funniest lines
in the pilot.
Oh my God. You're a little brain firing in synapses.
Look at
your little brain cage.
Synapses firing in their brain cage.
So
I wrote
funny.
That down. Where is it?
But yeah, like, and granted, I'm going to cite the American dub of the original series, but which I have not watched in a long time, so forgive my memory if it's really spotty. But I just kind of remembered him as, most of them, I don't remember their actual personalities.
Yeah.
I remember Keith's personality, I remember Sven's accent, the princess's personality, and I remember Coran's mustache. And that's all there was to it.
Playing with it the entire time.
Because,
the
princess was so great. She was so great. A lot of people in the chat are actually talking about how they're, mad at the portrayal of Keith in this series.
I
disagree. Again, Megan, my memory might be kind of spotty, but I feel like Keith was a little more two-dimensional hero in the original series, and I like that he's, socially inept and,
personality.
Yeah.
There's
I
that personality.
I adore this terrifyingly awkward human being. Yeah. He's just, again, Keith's lines are some of my favorites.
I'm bonding with you.
I'm bonding with you. I am your paladin. You really don't understand how to
I understand being a little put off by something being different than your nostalgia.
Yeah, sure, completely.
But especially because, again, Shiro is the current leader. But you have to sort of take these things in stride and kind of have faith in the creators that they know what they are doing and that there's a reason for the kind of shifts that we're seeing. So I'm okay with it. And like I said, it drove me crazy that their colors didn't match up with their lions. So in my color coordination, desire for color coordination, I'm okay with it.
We grew up on Power Rangers. If the colors don't match, it screws
it's
you.
Wrong.
It just messes with my head. I'm like, come on, guys.
And I'm sorry, which one are you piloting? The black lion? But you're wearing red.
What?
No. Get out!
Sorry, that just doesn't check out for me.
Megan,
you can't do this.
Who's your favorite?
I gotta say, my favorite when I was a kid was definitely the princess.
Oh, yeah.
I like that whole princess and, the prince sort of storyline that caught my attention, to say the least. But in this series, and maybe it's just because I have him branded as a dead man, but I really do like Shiro. I definitely find him very interesting.
But I love it because, but I also love the fact that, like, Shiro, he's just, he can't, even though he's supposed to be, like, the super serious character, he has these times where he's just like, wait, what? Like, just out of nowhere, especially when Corian was just like, oh, the two planets you guys are going to, it's very nice if you guys get stuck there forever.
I know. Which, by the way, that, like, giant sloth creature that Pidge and Shiro encountered when they were, like, going to get the Green Lion was straight out of the spirit world.
Yeah. I know. I was like, and even just those little weird Pikachu caterpillar bennies, like, come on.
But that just part where they both see him and Pidge freaks out and clambers over Shiro. There's a post on Tumblr, and I'll reblog it again because it's a wonderful thing, where someone grabbed the stills from it so you can see how that goes down.
Shut up, Pidge. Is that serious?
She's awesome. Oh my god.
Like spider-monkering him up? Like,
oh yeah. like frame by frame, and it's funniest thing.
I think that's the one thing, not to get, like, too far off from our favorite characters. Everybody's loved The Last Airbender and the Korra animation, but for some odd reason, their facial expressions in Voltron is just awesome.
They went
they're very
anime.
More detail. They did. They embraced the anime inspiration a little bit more because it is, of course, you know, based on what was an anime series. And, and you know, the creators behind Voltron have gone on record as saying that, like, they did not actually rewatch the old series. They just, like, were like, oh, we remember Voltron was awesome, so we're going to make what we thought it was.
Yeah. Yeah. The series is awesome as you remember, because when you go back and rewatch it 90% of the time.
They probably went to Wiki to, like, check some names, and that was it.
And that was when they decided, they were like, we want to have this, like, serious hero character, and everyone associates him with a bad, like, what even was Sven supposed to be? Like,
Norwegian
accent?
Let's just pull the rug out from under literally everyone.
Well, and it's so funny, and not to get too off track, but like,
we've never been on track.
Because in the original series, they killed him off but brought him back. Yep. And in the original anime, they brought him back by bringing in his twin brother.
Yes.
Which is the thing that anime does for some reason.
There was a Gundam series recently about 10 years ago.
So recently, Katie. Yeah, that was like yesterday.
Recently. College.
Yeah, a decade ago. But
it's more recent than some other Gundam series. That's
which
real.
Did the
when
same
was
thing.
95.
Did this, but that particular particular Gundam series did the exact same thing. But in the oddly enough, this is one of those instances where American translation actually made more sense than what happened in the original Japanese, because they couldn't just kill somebody, so they carted him off to a hospital.
Yes. Oh, and he was in a hospital for like 3 seasons.
it just reminded me of watching an anime version of Days of Our Lives. It was great. Yeah.
It totally is.
I am your twin brother. But
I liked though that, like, for Sven, they renamed him Shiro in a an homage.
As an homage
to Takashi Shirogane, which was the character that became Sven.
Well, that's his name in this Sven, too.
Yeah.
He just goes by Shiro.
I know you probably want to talk a little bit about why Shiro's your favorite, but
Everyone knows why Shiro's my favorite. He hits all my wash buttons.
Can we talk about how wonderfully diverse this cast is?
Yes!
The princess she's a person of color, so is most of the paladins, actually. And even the people behind the scenes are, like, for the voice actors, are people of color. Yeah. Which is fantastic.
It's super cool.
Yeah, no, that's, like, the one thing where I'm like, I don't have much money. I will figure out a way to become Princess Alora cosplay. I don't know how I will do it, but I will make it
and
happen.
And I also, to me, it made more sense, like, the way that Corran and Princess Alora look in this show. Because, like, they just looked like white people.
in the original series.
Yeah, and I love that she has, like, white hair now.
Yeah. It's freaking awesome. I mean, obviously, like, part of me, like, loving that character so much as a kid was that it was like, oh, like, she's a girl and she pilots one of the robots and she's blonde and I'm blonde. But, like, I don't feel sad to, like, see her not look like me anymore. Like, see, I still love her as a character.
But now it's my turn.
Yeah, because I've never felt that way.
And for any little girls watching this version of the series, that's great. And for anybody in the know, looking at her color scheme, it's pink and blue.
Yeah.
As, like, a wonderful send-up to the old show.
And foreshadowing as to what might happen in the future.
And I'm just loving that she kicks ass and takes names.
She totally does. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, like, even
things we'll talk about further down the line.
And the thing is, too, it's like, even in the original series, like, even before she was the pilot of the Blue Lion, like, she still was, like, a strong political figure. And, like, she's that, like, times 20 in this series. And it's just fantastic.
Yeah. Occasionally, she would solve problems by being a diplomat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I do want to point out before we move into talking about the episode that I just feel like you all need to know this because I just discovered this myself. In Golion, freaking who we all know as Pidge is voiced by Masako Nozawa, who's Goku.
Oh my god! What? I didn't know that.
I just felt like you all needed to know that.
Holy Dragon Balls, that's awesome.
Yep. That is glorious. Okay, that is fantastic. So we should actually talk about the episode and somehow fit 60 some odd minutes of episode into 30 some odd minutes.
I was like, we've talked a lot about, like, the character personalities, which is very much what this episode establishes.
Also, there is love for Hunk, even though we didn't say
I feel bad. None of us are wearing yellow, but since there are yellow so many people in our studio,
you know what, too? Hunk is represented by these microphones.
Here's the thing. I feel like with these episodes, it took me 5 episodes to like Lance. He was all of the shonen protagonist stuff that I hated in this episode, and none of the ones I liked. He was 3 steps away from being Kirito, and I was done. That close. Whoa. And then we hit, like, episodes 4 and 5, and I'm like, oh, this is better. You have depth. In the same way that Hunk's defining characteristic in this pilot, sadly enough, is motion sickness. And then when the pilot's over, it's gone. They just decided that it was not a good part of the series, and they dropped it. And thank God, because we didn't need that. Mm-hmm.
I will say that I love this series, and I love this pilot. I think it's a really fantastic introduction to the series. Yeah. But, like, there's some dumb, gross-out humor I don't need. I'm like, well, that's pandering to the younger boy.
There's definitely some little boy humor in it.
But I like what, you know, that doesn't stick around.
No,
it doesn't.
It doesn't.
It's just an introductory.
It feeds up very quickly.
I'm not going to lie, though, guys. That fart joke, though, was pretty funny.
It was actually pretty funny. Yeah.
I was just because I'm a Lance fan. That's the only reason.
And I love that for Hunk, we have... I'm sorry, you've been trying to say something for forever.
No, I was just going to say that Playful Panthers in the chat says that the princess is not in the original series isn't as badass as we remember her, but, like, who cares? That's the way we remember her, and that's what they're trying to portray in the show.
I reject your reality and substitute my own.
And you also have to remember, too, that, like, this series came on TV in a time where, like, the women characters didn't often get all that much to do. So the fact that, like, she got to pilot a lion at all was a huge, giant step forward.
Yeah. Let alone within the first 10 episodes. Because it was like, we don't need you anymore. But what I love about this, there's a lot of subtlety in the character portrayals.
There is.
Again, you kind of pick up in bits and pieces that Keith is really not good at people. And I just love Hunk being smart.
Yes,
Hunk is so smart. Don't emphasize it at all, but when Lance drops him off to go get the yellow lion, he's muttering and being sarcastic, and he's also hot-wiring alien technology he's never seen before. And it's nothing.
And also when he takes Pidge's stuff out of his backpack and reading through the journal and explaining everything, I was like, okay, so he's not the dumb
Geiger counter in a cave with a box of scraps.
He can rattle off techno babble with the rest of them.
Exactly.
And he was the engineer in their group.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, he absolutely
is. Puking into a box.
I'm glad they got rid of that.
It's great.
And he also, like, I don't know, like, for me, Hunk is such a, he's such a smart character, and he's also, like, kind of the voice of reason of the group. He made that aware, too.
Which
I hate to be the voice of reason.
Always.
Yeah.
But something that we don't real, which is interesting because we get this as a description of his character trait as somebody being very kind, but that's not something we see a ton of right here.
Okay.
Because his defining characteristics, even though he's smart, he's the, you know, he's the bigger guy who's always hungry, who's always throwing up, and who is always the one to want to run away from the fight. So, see, like, when she mentioned, rattled off kindness, it's like, Have we seen him be kind?
Yeah, I had to rewind it. I was like, wait, I don't remember any of that. But yeah,
we'll see it later.
They also released the profile. Like, the Voltron official site has fun little profiles and everything. And when Lance interrupts and talks about, like, the best-looking pilot, et cetera, et cetera. No,
what?
The Blue Lion is friendly and the most accepting of new pilots. Lance is on easy mode.
Yeah, that's why it's one of my friends.
And, you know, Blue's just looking at there going, I want that one.
Yep. Just like, you're first in line, sure.
I was the same way as a kid. I'm like, I want that one, it's first.
But this is the thing, too, that I actually did kind of appreciate, is because, you know, we're basically set up at the very beginning of the episode with, like, a Kobayashi Maru situation, where they're in, like, a simulator, and they're failing it terribly. And then,
it's
like...
not even a Kobayashi Maru, they're just inept.
That's true.
I was going to say, I don't feel like this was a no-win scenario. I feel like they could have won it very easily.
I feel like it was a no-win scenario because of the combination of personalities in there at that given time.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Because we know that Pidge didn't care about being part of the team.
Right.
Hunk went along with Lance, and Lance is useless.
He's got an inferiority complex.
It took me five episodes to like him.
It's true.
But what I was going to say is that, you know, I liked then that we got to see Lance be the first person to get his lion. And so, you know, you walk into this scenario where they, you know, they discover the Blue Lion in the cave, and all of a sudden Lance is in this position to sort of be taken seriously by the viewer, even though the rest of the team is like, what's going on with you?
What the hell? Terrified.
And then we saw how they were flying.
And it's very validating for him, because I think they said in, like, I don't know if it's the official website, but because Keith, you know, scrubbed out, he invented this rivalry between the two of them, because he was constantly told, you're only here because somebody else flunked out.
I think that was just headcanon that we were discussing at
one point. No, I thought you said, like, they actually mentioned it on the website, but whatever.
Well, that even, I don't remember.
That they mentioned that Keith flunked out, and that's why Lance
invented this rivalry in his head.
Oh, I think he invented that rivalry for sure.
You can also just kind of pull it from the episode, too, because Keith doesn't even recognize him
at first.
Oh, I remember you. So when they meet up with Shiro and Lance is the one that's chosen to be this particular pilot, like, that has to be really validating for him. It's like some actual, like, sense of self-worth to back up the big talk that he's always on top of that, too,
it's like, you know, this is sort of concurrently happening with when most of them make their first connection with Shiro. And previously, Lance has been like, oh my god, like, Shiro's my hero. And then
he's a legend.
And then Shiro's basically so, like, cool with him, basically being like, yo, what's up? You're Lance, right? I'm Shiro. And
he's Let me shake your hand with my robot hand.
And just stopping and staring at the prosthetic. Like, this is not awkward.
Yep. Nope.
But something I do want to point out, just because it was something that struck me as kind of odd the first time I watched it, and every subsequent time we've watched the pilot, I am still very confused by it. They're all meant to be paladins. Mm-hmm. This is all their, you know, magical science destiny.
Yeah.
Why was Keith the only one to sense the lion's presence until they were all super close to it?
I think it was because he was living in the little hobo shack in the middle of nowhere.
Was it just proximity then?
I think so. I think so, but I mean, I think there is also something, because I mean, you know, based on sort of our knowledge of the previous series, you know, Keith in the original series is the pilot of the Black Lion. He's kind of the leader, blah, blah, blah. So I think that there is something about, like, he's just, and again, it goes back to what Katie was saying about, like, Keith doesn't know how to people, he only knows how to pilot. And so I think he is just a little more in tune with, like, the universe and his destiny.
Well,
Well, and, wow.
And being alone, like, he didn't have any, I guess,
distractions.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, he also said that when he was kicked out of the garrison, he was pretty lost. And again, I hang out a lot in fandom, and we kind of put together, okay, if Shiro's the one he cares about, they're blaming Shiro for the failure of the mission, calling it pilot error. And if that's, I just lost the only person that I care about, and now you're blaming it on him, that disciplinary, he probably went after someone.
Yeah.
Because our introduction to Keith is setting off explosions, flying in, and doing his little ninja act. So I want to see that turtleneck come back up again at some point in the future. Oh, I want it because it's so funny. Wait,
when Keith was like ninjaing in to rescue Shiro, it was great.
But I mean, the garrison was probably his home. Shiro was the person he cared about, and all of a sudden he has nothing. Mm-hmm. So he's probably a lot more receptive to what's going on around him, because what else does he have to concentrate on?
Yeah, that's fair.
And everyone else at the garrison is there for a reason.
And I figured that because the Red Lion was the toughest lion, that maybe there was just something that you had to connect with on a different level for them, maybe.
I'm bonding with you!
Exactly.
You have to earn it, and there's just something innate in him.
Yeah, I think there was just something.
You have to do something gloriously stupid.
Yeah, pretty much, which is literally being floated out
into space. I don't know why I thought my arm could withstand the vacuum of space.
He was doing okay until he got whacked with a metal cube. I don't know what that was. It was just a random debris.
All spark. We were like, hey, we're better. Go.
Other giant robot show.
Oh, Lord.
That we also cover.
Okay, we're kind of jumping all over the place here. I'm assuming everyone's seen it. Are there any particular moments that anyone wants to hit on? And there are a hell of a lot of them in here, but are there any particular ones that we really want to bring up?
I mean,
I'm looking through all of my caps lock notes to see what I've got here.
I mean, that scene where they all go, where they, like, first discover that, like, Shiro is in that sort of, like, military medical facility or whatever, and they are blaming him for, like, the failure of the mission, and Pidge, Lance, and Hunk are all, like, trying to come up with a plan. They're like, all right, we're, like, gonna go in there and save him, and then, like, Keith just shows up on, like, his hover bike.
the carvings told him that something would be coming on that day, and I'm like, that is super convenient.
Yeah, yeah. And then and Lance just getting, like, so mad about it, basically being like, ah, damn it, it's Keith! I hate that guy.
But you guys, the worst.
Just like, who's Keith? Just tagging along. It was super cute.
So funny.
Yeah, and also when they then, like, had the escape plan where they all got on the bike, and they're like,
that scene was awesome.
Do you mind if we hitch a ride with you? And they're like, is this gonna support all of us? And Keith is like, no. Maybe we can unload some unnecessary weight.
But I also like that he was able to use it, like, hey, big man, lean left.
Yeah.
He's like,
that whole scene was great.
Got me on that scene was Pidge going, why do I have to hold this guy? And I'm like, you have the tiniest human being holding one of the biggest human beings. Why? Who came up with this?
Who's got robot parts in him? That can't be light.
Robot parts, he's probably on some form of alien steroids, let's be real. They did some stuff to Shiro.
No, I mean, going back to the scene of him when they were escaping and his hand started to glow, I was like, this is not going to end.
No, or even when he starts having these PTSD flashbacks. Shot of Zarkon's eyes.
He had pupils in that shot.
This
it
guy
was weird.
Came face to face with the freaking Emperor of Evil.
Yeah, right? Straight up.
That's,
no, thank you.
That's terrifying.
There's a going theory that there is some form of tracker in his robot arm.
That's what I'm thinking.
Given
up.
Evidence that we get later on in the series, which, again, we're going to have a lot of theory and recap and fun stuff to do with the last episode.
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of people were asking in the chat who had missed, like, the beginning of the episode whether or not we had mentioned that we'd seen all of the episodes. We have all seen all of the episodes.
Yes, we
We're just trying our best
to
individually
keep
to not
spoiler
really spoil the future for anybody that may be watching
episode to episode.
Yeah.
Which we appreciate if you do.
Yeah,
which
is because it's really easy to just binge this series.
We all kind of did.
You have great self-control if you're waiting for us to watch these episodes, because we did it in what, 2-3 sittings? Just done. Good night.
Yeah.
See, I was the one that was a little bit more disciplined because I was in 2 jobs. But, like, but like I was able to watch it within a couple weeks and actually enjoy every episode. But, like, oh, I wanted to just keep watching and not sleep. It was so bad.
And then it was over and it was the worst.
Oh, no. I want more episodes so bad. My favorite stuff from the season so far, or not season, sorry, the episode. Pilot, excuse me, is I love just seeing them all working together before they even formed Voltron, but I love when they were in the Blue Lion for the first time together and oh my Lance God. Is like, here we go. Just kind of goes and they're just screaming.
I know.
Their heads up. Well, okay, only Hunk and Pidge are screaming. I love how Keith and Shira are just kind of like,
there are no passenger seats in this Lion.
Oh, God. It was just so funny.
And that is absolutely the weirdest thing I have said today.
No, go ahead.
I just, you can really see, like, the fact that they don't even have to speak. You can see their personalities within, like I was talking before, with the animation. With their faces. It was awesome.
And speaking of the animation, I really... Normally, especially in anime series, the integration of CGI with traditional 2D animation drives me crazy.
Yeah, it was not jarring. It was very...
No, they did a very nice job.
Everything was seamless. Everything looked really... It came together so well. And, you know, and not only that, but...
It came together so well. I was thinking of Hump when he, like, rams into... It's like, come on!
That didn't work. But not only the animation, but the music.
Oh,
like,
so good. Maybe
it's just because I'm missing Tron Uprising so much lately. Yeah. But, like, the music in here sounded like music from Tron Uprising, and it made me very, very happy. And you said the soundtrack's available?
I think it's on iTunes.
Oh, I need it.
I need it in my life. Yeah.
Even though we all know, because we're all big, you know, Last Airbender, you know, fans and stuff like that, that just, I love how we can take really serious stuff, but also throw in a lot of comedy.
Yeah.
And make it lighthearted. And
my favorite funny. Joke's not going to show up for another 7 or 8 episodes.
But I love that I can find a favorite scene of mine where I could just be like how we're doing right now, where we're talking about something totally different and something just pops in my brain. I'm just like,
I'm bonding with you.
And I think that, you know, that is the thing that made this series like so compelling and gave it such a strong start is that it does very much have that like Last Airbender feel about it. A little more Last Airbender than Korra. I feel this is aimed at more of a Last Airbender aged audience, whereas Korra was definitely aimed at an older audience.
Yes.
But that is one of the things, is that, like, it is ultimately, it's such a, like, complex and kind of dark and ultimately touching story, but the humor is there and it's so on point that even in those, like you go through all these really dark moments and, like, it is a very serious story. The entire world is being destroyed by the Galra. Like, it is just...
The entire universe. Galaxy, universe, whatever.
Yeah, like, the universe...
The everything.
...is going to expire.
It's an empire, guys.
Emperor of the known universe.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Like, it's so funny because I remember the old series being awesome, but I don't ever remember laughing. And I laughed a lot watching this particular episode, even though not all of the humor was my favorite.
Yep.
One little character bit that I really liked from Hunk was he asked for permission to panic at one point.
Yes, he did.
I continued to ask for permission.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love the bit where they finally form Voltron and they're all like, how is this working? And this is the point where it's like, okay, Shiro is definitely 25. How are we doing this? I don't know, but we're gonna run with it.
I love that. There's no combined button on my dashboard.
Like, that is every 20-something year old. I don't know how this is working, but it's working, so we're gonna do it.
But I also like that it's realistic now. It's not like, hey, we did it. Now we can do it every single time now.
I totally agree, because it's like at the end of the pilot, they really only managed to accomplish it because, like, they really are in peril and there's no other way they're gonna win this fight. And so then,
when they're told they have to form it again and again and again, they look like deer caught in the headlights.
I thought we could go home. This isn't it.
I thought this was a one-time deal. Nah. One shot. Here we go.
Yeah, because they, like, don't really 100% understand how it works.
And also, they're teenagers. Yeah. They're like, so we did it, right? It's like a job. Like, I come in for school and then I leave.
They picked up their lives and went through a space wormhole.
So
and now their entire world is different. Like, school doesn't matter anymore.
No, because the world will end, or sorry, the universe will end.
They are light years away from their families.
Yeah.
And even just that one line, I guess we're skipping class tomorrow. I'm like,
that's really short-sighted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, indicator. But that's their lives right
now. That's also very teenage thinking, like, oh, we're just going to skip school tomorrow. Big whoop. And then you're like,
But you can tell when it's like, oh, stuff's serious now when they see the wormhole, because even Lance dials it back and goes, well, Shiro's the commanding officer. What do we do?
Which is, again...
Yeah. Like, the bravado just stops, and it's like, okay, now we're actually serious. Yeah. What do?
Heywood Wong in the chat says, Kree Summer is Hagar.
And not to mention, like, this version of Zarkon, super scary.
Oh my god.
The only thing of my other guy, other series. I was never scared of him.
No, but I'm legitimately terrified of him in this. And Hagar Wong also wants to know if we like that Glenn from Walking Dead is Keith.
Steven
Ewan is so good.
He's really great.
He was Avatar 1 in Legend of Korra, which was amazing. Oh, yeah. And I love him. And so, like, if any of you guys, like, know him and want to give him my phone number, like, that's fine.
So you can get him in studio, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in studio.
Purely professional
reasons. Totally professional reasons.
Professional adjacent.
Put that and just put it in a box.
The one detail that we noticed, and I think you pointed it out, actually, when we were watching it again, was that after they realized, okay, it's been 10,000 years, my dad made some really terrible decisions, the next thing was, it's Zarkon. There's no way he's still alive. So living for 10,000 years isn't something that really super happens out here.
So what are we thinking? Like, so is this actually Zarkon?
I have a theory, but it's something that we see in a later episode.
Yeah, that's why.
I mean, like, you take one look at that scary witch, and druid, she's what's keeping him alive.
All of
my money on that. She's always hovering right beside him, and she's scary as all get out.
She's like the witch in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and I'm like fine with it.
I think she's great.
What I'm loving, and I'm just going with word choice here because between D&D and all the difference, just the terminology makes me happy. The difference between paladin and druid as a class, as what they do, because I'm looking very much in D&D things because I've been watching a lot of Critical Role, you guys. It's very great. Your paladin is your extremely religion aligned, usually lawful or neutral good, unless they're aligned to a god of vengeance,
right?
Sort of, you know, straight up and down white knight, usually some form of healer, heavy armor, some form of weaponry. Like, they're the person that you want in the front lines. Whereas a druid is extremely nature-aligned, magic-aligned, able to use animal transportation, able to... transformations, rather. Able to use the elements, stuff like that. So it's two very different ends of a very similar spectrum. Mm-hmm. So I like seeing them placed against each other this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Renji says that Zarkon might just be a species that ages slowly. NDT TV Clips theorizes, I think in this series, Zarkon was once human. Which could be interesting.
Twist?
Twist!
Because
I'm like,
when humans turn purple, they're usually dead.
Listen, we know for a fact that, like, alien experimentation and, like, mutilation of human bodies is a thing that's happening in this universe.
Or he could just be a mix, maybe. Maybe he's, like, half this and that. You never know.
Yep. Speaking of, when the aliens do come marching in at the very beginning, you know, the astronaut is like, oh, man, my life's work would be complete. It's like, list of lifelong dreams, you're now half as long.
I feel like Sam Holt regrets those words a lot. And Dr. Samuel Holt made a mistake that day.
Well, the only other thing I want to point out is that I think it's entirely, and granted, this is definitely delving into, like, theory territory, but, like, I definitely feel like Shiro's escape was orchestrated.
I totally agree.
Ever since he showed up, I was like, there's something. I don't know what's going
on. He's a sleeper agent. You said it.
Yeah.
It's very convenient.
I was
going to
say, I don't know that it's necessarily that, like, it was orchestrated, like, on Shiro's part, but it was definitely orchestrated on the part of the Galra. Like, they let him escape for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
He's a sleeper agent. He has to be. He did it all on his own, and he's like, oh my god, they found
well,
me.
Well,
like,
and maybe it's just narrative convenience, but the fact that he has he has amnesia due to his PTSD,
right.
You know, again, it's very convenient.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Can we talk a little bit about that? Can we talk about, well, you don't have a Bayard. It was lost. I'll make do.
Yes. Yes, you
with
will.
With your awesome robot arm.
Yeah. And just how they framed all of that. It activated on its own. I love that audio trick where the audio goes out of focus.
Oh,
and you can
great.
Still tell what's being said, but it's just like,
it's
no,
distorted,
we're going to emphasize
yeah.
the heartbeat and everything else is distorted. And you know there was just that moment where five
sure,
seconds later
there.
He's looking around going, what happened to the robots?
Uh-huh. What's happening? Why does my hand feel weird?
How? What?
Well, and something
and
we had.
Like, cool.
I clicked into something there that I did not know I had.
And I love that he's being, like, the fact that he's, I mean, I would like to know more about this, but the fact that he was called the champion.
Exactly.
And
yes. The prisoners are like, if there's anybody who can get us out of this situation, it's this
so
guy.
Like,
and it's like,
what did
so
you do? What
he
did
doesn't
you do?
Remember, but he's made a name for himself
yeah.
within not only the ranks of, like, the Galra, presumably, but definitely amongst
Ooh.
The prisoners.
Snap, you guys.
Whoa.
Renji points out that Shiro is going to go all Winter Soldier.
Like, we
know.
Were making jokes about that
so
earlier.
He's completely
Bucky.
I'm with you to the end of the line,
Keith. Oh my god, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
It just
yep.
all clicked into my brain. I'm like, oh, those scenes are going to be awesome.
Definitely saw someone do a comic where they met
up. Oh, I need someone to make that into a drawing and I put it up on my wall.
There's a comic. I'll find it
already,
and send
please?
It to you.
I
it's on Tumblr.
It.
It's so
And Playful
funny.
Panthers follows that up like, so sexy with longer hair.
Hey.
Into it.
I kind of yeah. like the military cut, though. Not gonna lie.
I love
hair.
All poof.
I love the little
cute.
White poof.
Yeah,
I know.
Awesome.
He rocks
so
it.
He does. It looks really good. I can't wait to see the cosplays of that.
Yes. They're already out there. There
I
were some really
yet.
Good yeah. Voltron cosplay at Comic-Con, actually. There
yeah.
were
I
pictures going
all of them
out.
While we were running
I saw.
Around.
I saw. No, I pointed out that Keith and Lance to you, remember?
Oh, that's
in
right. We did see
in the press
yes,
lounge.
Yes, yes. I just said, I was like, what? Yeah, I want a Shiro, though.
Yeah, I did not make it to San Diego Comic-Con this year, so if
Me
anyone
either.
Got their hands on the print that was at the panel.
Oh, I tried to look for it, but I wasn't there, I think, on the day that they
no, Yeah, the yeah. panel was on... I was in Keystone getting, you know,
yeah,
at a work conference.
Yeah.
And I'd met all these people, and I'd, you know, we're going to share Twitter, and we were tweeting about all the work stuff that we were doing. And then I started getting updates from the Voltron panel from my friends who were losing their minds. And then the trailer came out, and I'm just like... To everyone at this work convention who started following me on Twitter thinking that I was
apologize.
A responsible adult,
welcome.
I'm so
welcome
sorry.
To my world.
I hope you like robot lions. I hope you like red versus blue.
Oh,
I hope you like a lot of color coded
media. I can just imagine
like,
your coworkers just be like, well, I wonder what's on the Twitter. Holy robots, what's happening?
Just, holy
just
robots.
Like, it's just Katie. It's just like, retweet. This is going to be
She's
great.
Like, somebody is in agony and I don't know why.
Yeah.
Voltron, didn't that come out like 30
years
ago?
Oh, weird.
Oh. It's like, no, I am in pain. I think this is what pain feels like.
I have to agree with Beast Wars fan. Shiro, are you not entertained?
Yeah!
I love that so much.
And again, it's a little too early to make that joke, but it's
waiting
just,
for the waiting for the Photoshop, though.
Yeah,
waiting
no,
for
I
the
want
Photoshop.
To see it so bad, yep. guys.
Okay,
so
can
guys,
we get a note
get
on how
on
much
that.
Can we get a note on how much time we still have? I'd like to know how much we can still go. For our wonderful person in the booth, who is a lovely human being. Yeah, is there any other character moments? Any other? Because this was an hour and some change.
Yeah, it
because.
Was.
It was a good amount of time.
Okay.
I liked seeing that. I love Pidge when she as he's getting in the boat and with Slot.
You're
I'm sorry,
so angry.
So
he tried.
And I love how he's just rambling about like. I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if the lion's going to accept me. What am I supposed to do after that? And then
I
you just
wanted
see this
to be a pilot.
Like,
I mean, I read all the manuals, but I've never been a pilot before. What if my feet don't reach the pedals? What if there aren't pedals?
Yeah,
was,
I love that. That was just kind
that
of
was
realistic
a spectacular
for any
moment.
Person I know who I call fun size is just like, I can't reach the pedals to whatever
yeah.
they're doing for like a ride or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just,
no, I,
don't know. I
always have to scooch my car chair
yeah.
forward,
forward
so
yeah.
much for my tiny
I,
little legs.
I really liked
the.
That when Allura and Coran were introduced, that like instead of being like, let us, we're just gonna tell you about what happened, we just like went straight full on flashback to like what went down 1,000 years ago.
And someone
yeah.
on Tumblr pointed out, taking a look at King Alfor's armor,
mm-hmm.
yellow accents.
Yeah.
He was probably the Yellow Paladin.
He probably
yeah,
was.
Probably
he probably was.
And
I liked,
he made Voltron.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I like too that King Alcor was not like
it's one of the things I always love, love, love so much seeing in shows that are perhaps technically aimed at kids is when you have adults making bad choices.
Yeah. Yes!
They're spending forever making up for his terrible, terrible decision. As an AI, he had 10,000 years to think about it.
Yeah, he sat there and went, you know, I thought that being cautious and trying to keep Voltron out of his hands was the best way to go about it. I was wrong.
I made a mistake.
I was wrong. I should have stood my ground. I should have fought. You were right. And so I like, not only is it, like, really big of a show to, like, take that stance to be like this guy without villainizing him.
Yes, because I
feel like if you're showing adults making bad decisions, they're either portrayed as very dumb or, like, straight up bad.
And he is a good, smart, capable person who just made a call that he thought was the right call, and it was not the right call.
Well, which again, and that happens as adults, to we everyone. Do that all the time. Like, we not do it all the time, but it does happen.
And he has a very kind demeanor, so if he is the yellow paladin, that makes total sense. Perfectly.
Yeah. NDT TV Clips in the chat also brings up another really good moment wherein Keith got ejected from the Galra ship, and then, like, that was the moment where, like, the red lion...
He had to
do a dumb.
Seriously, he had to be floated into space to get his respect.
Good kitty.
Good kitty.
Oh, I literally lost my mind.
Shoot me. Oh my God, Keith, like, you idiot. I love him, you idiot.
I loved it.
When he got shot into space, we got the framing and we just got the close-up of his helmet and him being like, I'm going to die. It went all gravity for a minute.
But then we got to see
the reflection of the lion in the helmet coming forward.
Yeah, we could have done that shot in any way, but I love that we got to see through his technical eyes.
I want to see, like, the storyboards or the animatics for that one.
Art direction for this series is just it's so dang good.
It's really good.
Are Netflix series eligible for daytime Emmys?
Can we give them one? I feel like yes.
I believe so.
Because I feel like we need to throw this one at them wholesale and be like, storyboarding, artist, direction.
House of Cards gets nominated for regular Emmys.
Yeah, so I mean, you never know.
That's true. Yeah. Orange is the New Black as well.
Yeah, so there you go.
Okay, yeah. No, let's push for that. This is amazing.
Yeah.
The going off of Pidge freaking out, I love the follow-up to that. And Shiro basically giving Pidge's father's words back to him.
Whoa! I was like, oh my god, that was crazy.
If you get too worried about what could go wrong, you might miss a chance to do something great. And you can see the moment in Pidge of like, I've heard that before.
But no one knows.
And I really love that, like, they're already establishing that these two are connected before we get the reveal that, you know, Pidge, it's Pidge's brother and father that have gone missing.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, I like that we have the two of them together for a little bit because ever since Shiro was introduced, Pidge is like, where's the rest of the crew?
I didn't even realize
if I'm going to find answers, it's by sticking to this guy.
Yeah, which I didn't even realize until watching it the fourth time that Pidge is just saying it over and over and over. And I, like, when I first watched it, didn't even register in my brain. I was just like, wow, you do say that a lot in this entire hour and 8 minutes. That's nuts.
Priorities, right?
No, I mean, but it makes sense. I mean, if my brother and my father were missing, I'd be like, every day.
Well,
and this is the only connection right here.
So much so that Pidge created technology to scan for alien chatter.
Because how? Because Pidge.
Determination all the way. Pidge runs into a tiny flying drone, hits it, and then goes, I can reprogram this. Boop! Your name is Rover.
You serve me.
Yes. And again, plus this incredible human being that's just like, and that one.
Well, and I think that's just also an example of, like, why this show is so strong, because you do have this very diverse, interesting cast that all has very different personalities. It's like one of the things that I've often said about, like, Sailor Moon is that, like, Sailor Venus is my favorite character, but only narrowly. And that's very much how I feel about this series as well, because you are given this very complicated, interesting group of people. And so it's like, all of them are great.
Yeah.
No, they're wonderful. And and again, for looking back at least in my mind, the original series, I only remember the two-dimensional personalities, you know, 1, 2, and, like, 3.
Right.
And everybody else sort of, like, faded into the background. And, like, all of these characters are super memorable without being stereotypes.
Yeah, I agree.
They've all got the nuance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I love that we have what would ostensibly be, oh, there's one person that does machines, you know, the Donatello of the group, and instead we have the tech person and the engineer that are two very different skill sets with some Venn diagram overlap, but definitely not the whole thing. It's more
definitely one of them with boundary issues. For
oh my god.
Oh man, that whole scene was fantastic. It was just like smack. I don't know, but
well, and just the whole I was going through his backpack, and then I was reading his diary, and Peach is just like, "Excuse you."
Yeah, I have to wonder what Hunk's background is. It's like he either came from a big family where like there were no boundaries and like everything like that.
That is definitely my first inclination.
Yeah. Or he was an only child that doesn't understand that siblings
that
need
could,
that.
Yeah,
space.
Be a good, yeah.
I think either theory is valid.
Yeah. So here's the thing, and this is getting to end of the series, but. Yeah. We know nothing about these characters.
Okay, that's the one thing that I love about the show. But man, it is so
it's
frustrating.
Infuriating.
Yeah,
it is.
I don't like it.
But it also is a testament to how like compelling these characters are, just based on their personalities and skill sets. That like you want to know more about them, but you care about them even not really knowing the whole backstory. And I think that ultimately, like. We're gonna get more of that.
Yeah.
These are very smart writers working on this show.
We are all 10,000% in for the and I think
I just
it's
want
interesting
it now.
That, now. The first time you watch the series, you're like, oh, okay, we're in for the ride. It's great. It's wonderful. And it's only after you stop, after this first season is over, and you kind of sit back and think about it, that you go. We have no idea.
Yeah. Like, it took me a minute.
We get like, Hidge's family life with that confession about, that was my father and brother, but there's a going theory that Lance is from a huge family. Mm-hmm. We don't know. It makes sense. Nope. We don't know. We don't know anything about Hunk. We don't know how Shiro and Keith know each other, and that's a big deal.
Yeah, because the initial Keith looking at Shiro on the hospital bed table thing was just like
the gurney.
Yeah, thank you. It was just like you saw the sparkly anime eyes, and I'm like, something's happening. I don't know what it is.
I saw someone subtitle that as, "Oh, he's hot."
Like, I mean, you're not wrong.
This one is like heavy breathing. It's like,
Talk about the space Nigel Thornberry.
Smashing.
But like, even though we don't know a whole lot about their backstories, they leave such a strong impression on us that we didn't notice.
You know what we forgot to talk about?
What do we
Our
forget?
Beautiful
to talk about?
Mice. Angry Mice is my favorite.
Angry
Mouse is my favorite.
I also loved when Allura was like, oh, I guess, because we've been in these stasis pods with them for so long, like, now we're able to communicate with them psychically. Karan's just like, he's like, I'm trying to get them to make me a sandwich.
I also love, finger counting, it's more of an art than
a science. And I'm like, what?
Again, when Karan has those moments of, not moments of competence, he is pretty dang competent.
Yeah.
But when he has those moments of, no, I am a serious character and no, there's depth to me, you don't sit there and go, oh, my depth is pasted on. You're like,
he's my Colonel Armstrong from FMA. That's exactly who he is to me. Just minusing all the sparklies, but like,
oh my,
Armstrong, definitely the mustache.
Yeah, definitely the mustache. Not as many muscles as I would like, but he's just. We all know that Armstrong in FMA was. If you're not, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's Full Metal Alchemist. Is that Armstrong was this comic relief, but when something was happening, you knew that you can count on.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure. Serious character.
And some of the funniest lines in this episode came from him, and I can't help but wonder. I was like, did they let him improv? Because
he's hysterical.
Awesome.
He's my favorite.
I feel like probably yes.
Yeah.
I feel like there were like the little I'm sure it was just like makes fighting noises. Like, oh, I can do that.
I can totally do that. I think that whole little scene between him and Lance was just ad-libbed. I don't think that was even like in the script. Just like make fight noises, and they just kind of went at it. It's adorable.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This series is just awesome, and I need more episodes.
Yeah.
And we're only talking about the pilot.
And I'm just so excited that we get to sit down
and like
talk about it
because there's a lot to talk about. It's a great show. It's really fun. A
lot of layers.
Yeah.
Like onions.
Like onions. Complicated.
I think in one way or another, we hit pretty much all of the big
plot
points.
I agree.
The only issue I have is, boy, I hope there weren't more prisoners on that car.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Because I was sitting there going, so we're not going to check the other base? No? Bueller? Fine. All right, cool. I guess we'll just move on.
No, like, watch, the Holtz were on that ship.
I mean,
That is.
It was a perilous turn. Time that was happening.
That's a turn that I'm like 90% certain the series will not take, given the tone it's adopted. I don't think it will go as dark. I don't think it will go as dark as your family was alive, but they were on a ship that Voltron blew up.
Oh my god!
I don't think we're gonna go there because that's when you start breaking characters and you cannot come back.
That is when you go full Walking Dead,
and this is not a Walking Dead
is in this show.
That doesn't mean anything.
If that happens, Katie, I don't know if I can get through the rest of the season. I will be in the corner of that couch just being like,
I guess it's a fun notion to entertain I hope there weren't more prisoners. But I do not think they'll go there because that is too dark for what they've established.
Especially if Cora got real dark.
But especially if they're still trying to catch the 8 to 15 demographic thereabouts, that's a little dark for 15-year-olds.
DreamWorks, please don't take my heartstrings out of my brain.
Is it dark or is it realistic?
They're lions that combine into a giant robot. Would you like to make the realistic argument again?
Listen, I feel like within this universe, that's very plausible. So,
I can't, guys.
I don't know. People lost their heads in Korra.
I'm just waiting for the minute delay for that to hit chat and see what they have.
Everybody's like, you monster. That would be dark and awesome. Beast Wars fans is just dark.
Dark. Okay.
You're giving them ideas. Stop it. Katie sounds like she's writing for Arrow. I would rather have that.
Oh, yeah.
That would be awesome. Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
I think chat just broke Katie.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about the fact.
Oh, my God. You're right. Oh. Arrow would do
it. Yeah, that actually is a valid point.
Playful Panthers. I was actually talking about this with my boyfriend, actually, while we were rewatching the pilot together. It was interesting how languages, you know what I mean? Because obviously for us, we need it to be in English. We all know that.
Yeah, exactly.
But before we start rapping, he said, we didn't talk about the fact of just coming into contact with aliens. How does everybody know their languages?
Wibbly wobbly, timey wimey. I assumed it was TARDIS magic.
I just went with magic, literal magic, animation,
cartoons,
psychic paper.
Convenience. Convenience, yeah.
But, technology that is a universal translation.
Yeah.
There you go.
Like the TARDIS does that.
But yeah, it is something that never got an official explanation, so it's worth pointing
out.
But I do like the fact that we can
actually see the language on their consoles and computers and things like that.
But yeah, it's cool. You get to see alien languages written out all over consoles and things like that.
I would like to hear what Altaian actually sounds like, though, at one point. Yep. But I know that's just something I wanted to bring up because I thought it was awesome.
Okay, so I think we have a couple of little gossip points that we should hit because we did have San Diego Comic-Con this past weekend.
Real quick.
Right?
Yeah.
AfterBuzz TV News.
And we had a full-on Voltron panel. The big news is that Season 2 was confirmed to be released sometime later this year. We don't know when. And I wish that I had saved this because I don't remember where I read it, but I'd heard that it was two of four.
Good job.
And I am uncertain if that is the case. If anyone can find me a link, an article, a something, because I'm sure I read that somewhere, but hell if I can remember where. Mm-hmm. We did get a trailer. We will not be talking about that until the very last after show because that's predictions territory, and we've seen it all, so predictions territory is kind of useless.
Yep.
Did we have any other gossip?
Not that I know of off the top of my head.
I feel like that was the big thing right there.
Yeah. If you haven't seen the trailer, you should go. You should find
finish watching the series.
Yeah, finish watching the series.
Don't watch it right now if you haven't finished it.
Because otherwise, you watch the trailer, you're like, what?
I don't understand.
Don't do that to yourselves.
Yeah.
Okay, we spoke briefly about iTunes at the beginning, but again, find us, rate us, like, comment, subscribe. 5 stars if you love us. We certainly hope that you do. And if you leave a review, we will read it on the air. Obviously, we don't have any right now, but next week, same lion time, same lion channel.
Heck yeah.
Do it. All right. Thank you for joining us.
Yes.
Emma, where can the people find you?
on the internet. I'm there all the time, guys. I'm at Emma Fyfe on Twitter. I'm at Emma Fyfe on Instagram. You can hear me on my Sailor Moon podcast, Love and Justice, the serious Sailor Moon podcast. You can find it in the iTunes store. And you can also see me on the Steven Universe After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. That is Monday nights at 10 p.m. Pacific.
I'm Alexis Torres. You can find me at HTorres890. I will be starting another Netflix original series, I guess, which is Sense8. They have season 2 that's coming out August 8th, and I will be leading that one. I will be the black lion on that. They, they won't know that, but it's okay. I will know. You guys should check that out. That's also on Thursdays, actually, right before Voltron. So check it out, and let's hang out. Also, check out my YouTube channel. I will be doing stuff. I'm actually doing a review about The Killing Joke that just came out, which is a lot of controversy. So watch it on this weekend, for sure.
Yep. Controversy is very synonymous with The Killing Joke.
Yep.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 K's. Be sure to check those out.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and YouTube at KiaJet. That is KiaXet. I'm also on Snapchat at Kia Prime. YouTube is mostly reaction videos, so if you want to see my face when my heart breaks, that is how you do that is where you do the thing. I'm also on the Steven Universe After Show. That is Mondays at 10 p.m. You already said this. It's the spiel. And on multiple Rooster Teeth After Shows that are at multiple different times of the day and month. Because what's a consistent airing schedule?
No, I don't know what it is.
All right.
Nah.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. We will see you all here next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
I'm bonding with you!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.